Activia offers a range of yogurts which are a delicious way to look after your gut health. From the fruit range with carefully selected ingredients to no added sugar and 0% fat offering, as well as a cereals range, there's an Activia for everyone. Made with a unique blend of 5 ferments, creating an irresistibly creamy texture, each pot of Activia is a source of calcium, making it the perfect addition to your daily routine. Activia helps support a healthy gut. Your gut is where it all begins. This is an Irish Independent podcast.
Leia Healthcare, looking after you always. Proud sponsors of Real Health with Carl Henry.
Hello and welcome to Real Health with me, Carl Henry, in association with Leia Healthcare. Folks, this week it's a little different than usual. It's one of our life lessons episodes, and I have to say I'm really, really, really excited. If, like me, you watch Clarkson's Farm on TV and were blown away by the whole concept of being a farmer and having sheep and cattle and grain and all of that lovely stuff that he did, I think you're really going to enjoy today's episode. I've been following this woman on Instagram for a very long time, and I'm delighted she's been able to take the time out of a really busy day to join me today on the podcast. Ireland, as we know, has a long history with farming, but how much do we really know about the people who look after the farms that supply us with the food that we eat every single day and what actually goes on behind the scenes? Well, today we're going to find out. I'm joined by dairy farmer Louise Crowley to discuss what life as a farmer is like in Ireland and being a woman in that job. Louise, a very big welcome to the show. How's it going?
Good. Thanks for having me.
Listen, we're delighted to have you on. So before we go anywhere, tell people a little bit more about you. You're not just a farmer. You do a lot more than farm. So tell our listeners and stuff a bit more about you.
Well, I suppose I am a dairy farmer, so my life revolves around all things kind of farming. And as most people my age, we put everything up on social media, and I like to share the everyday ins and outs of farming. So the highs, the lows, and everything gets put up on Twitter just to show the realities of what we are doing every day.
And of course, you've done some television as well, haven't you?
I have, yeah. So I've been lucky enough to be a farm ambassador for the National Dairy Council. So I've featured on a few of their ads. And as far as, I suppose, having dinner with a vegan on Eating with the Enemy. So I know most farmers wouldn't be too keen on doing that one.
And tell me, are your family farmers?
Yeah, so I'm a third generation farm, part of the family farm here. So my grand aunt originally bought the farm here in Limerick, and then dad, her nephew, he decided he wanted to go farming. They both were from Cork City, so there was no farming background before my grand aunt. And then I grew up on the farm with dad and decided that I wanted to be the next one to take it on.
And was that something that you always wanted to be growing up, or you know, did other things come into the mix, or was it always, nope, I want to be a farmer?
It was always where I wanted to end up eventually. I suppose growing up, I'm the eldest out of my siblings. So I was one that was on the farm first and helping out. And during school, I wanted to go farming, but you were kind of told, you know, maybe look at something else. So I had thought about going teaching, maybe doing ag science teaching to keep in line with the farming side, and then eventually go farming. But once I got towards doing my leaving cert, I decided, why not start where I want to end up? Because if I went away working off farm for even 10 years, that's 10 years of progression I would have lost at home on the farm. So I bit the bullet and I just went straight into farming after college.
And talk to me about women in farming. Is that presumably, or maybe I stand to be corrected, is it a male-dominated profession, or are more and more women getting into it?
There is an awful lot of women in farming at the moment. I'm full-time for health, but when I was growing up, there wasn't too many women around that were in it. So it has changed in the last decade. And the biggest issue nowadays is the lack of female ownership on farms. So the women are milking the cows, feeding the calves, we're doing all the day-to-day work, but in the managerial roles and the inheritance of farms, that's where it's really lacking. It's only about 13% of the farms in the country at the moment are in females' names. And a lot of that is in females' names because they're widowers and would have inherited that way. So we're still trying to change the view that you don't have to give it to a son, you know, give it to the most capable person that will take on the farm.
Okay, so that's still a thing, the fact that, you know, it automatically goes to the eldest or whatever.
It is, it still is a thing. People will choose to give it to the eldest or to give it to the son or a nephew. This idea that you have to keep the farm in the family name. So that was kind of a deterrent against women inheriting, because if you marry and you change your name, they kind of viewed you were losing the family name. But these things are changing. We're like, farming has to become modern like everything else. So we're not tied to, you know, trying to keep it with that traditional view.
Wow. Okay. It's also it's a very old Ireland thing, isn't it? It's fascinating.
It is, yeah. It's one of these things. Farming has become so modern with all the technology and all this side of it. It's just on the actual ownership side that we need to up the ante.
So give us a sense of your farm then. How many tractors have you got? How many acres have you got? How many heads of cattle or whatever have you got? Tell us more.
So we're a dairy farm here. So we're spring milking. We calved down 180 cows this year with the aim to go to 200 cows next year. We love machinery here. I would have been brought up, Dad loved machinery, so I inherited that love as well. So we have, there's five tractors here, and then there's two loaders, a teleporter, a digger, balers, wrappers, diet feeders, you name it, we probably have it. And if we haven't, I've probably used it as a drive for a contractor as well in my spare time. So yeah, we have a lot going on here. We have two farms here. So there's the home farm where it's the milking platform. So all the cows are kept here. That's 170 acres. And then there's a second farm that we bought in 2018, and that's 72 acres. And that has our calves that were born this year and all of our silage ground then as well as over there.
I'm tired just listening to you describe the farms and the quantity of stuff that you've got. Out of interest, did you watch Clarkson's Farm? Did it give an insight into the life of a farmer? Did it reflect how it actually is?
Well, it did. And like I'd say most farmers that we tuned in to watch him, we kind of were a bit skeptical and said, how is he going to portray farming now? And like you viewed it that he was a celebrity going into farming, you know, was money going to be an actual issue? Because finances are a huge issue in farming. And I think any farmer that I talked to that watched it thought he portrayed it very well. You know, he didn't sugarcoat anything. He was honest about how he was feeling. And even to sum it up in the very end of it, what stuck with me was when he worked out with, even with his, you know, payments from Europe and like single farm payments and all of these subsidies, he still only made a couple of £100 out of his year's work. And I think that really hit home with people that, you know, you can put in all this effort and things go wrong and you try and right it. But, you know, at the end of the day, it could be for very little.
And give us a sense of your day then. So I'm sure no 2 days are the same, right? So this is one of those questions where you're like, oh, well, you know, everything's different. But what's a vaguely normal day for you? How does it look?
Yeah. So every day is different, but it kind of depends on the season. So we're in the middle of the summer now, so things are kind of, the cows are in a routine. You kind of, everything is ticking over really. So we're milking in the mornings. So 7 o'clock starts in the parlor, get the cows milked. Takes about 2.5 hours in the morning to milk. It's your stock check. So go to the other farm, check the calves are all right, feed them their nuts. Then it's check grass. So I measure grass here once a week just to make
you
sure
measure the
I
grass.
Can budget it. And yeah.
How do you measure grass?
Grass is our most efficient and cheapest feed for the cows, and it's their favorite as well. So I measure every field here every week. I have a thing called a plate meter, and I take maybe 25, 30 each, and it works it out on an app on my phone, and it will tell me by the time I've my walk of the farm done, it will tell me exactly how much grass I have in each field. And I can see if I have enough grass for the next week or 2 weeks. Do I need, you know, if grass is getting short or a bit scarce, I can put in a bit more meal, or I can put in silage to fill up the deficit. So it just makes sure that we're utilizing everything. I can see if I have too much grass, so I can cut some of it and make bales out of it. We're just trying to keep the quality right for the cows at all times. They don't like it when it gets too long and stemmy. It's not as palatable for them. And they don't milk as well off of it either.
Fascinating. Well, okay. Folks, you're listening to Real Health with me, Carl Henry, in association with Leia Healthcare. We are learning all about farming today. I'm being blown away with the talk of tractors and machinery and apps for measuring grass. Tell me about social media then. That's where I came across you after watching some of the farm programs. I was just looking on Instagram when you came up, and I've been fascinated by what you document and the way you do it. Why was the decision to document your life on Instagram?
No, it was never intentional that, you know, like every other, I suppose, teenage girl, photos of nights out and all that kind of stuff. And I'm a member of Machra the Firma. And in 2018, I represented Limerick in their Queen of the Land Festival. So Queen of the Land is like the Rose of Tralee for farmers.
Okay.
I didn't realise when I was going to it how much of a big deal it was. But ended up winning the competition.
What did you have to do in the competition?
So it's a full weekend above in Tullamore. You're judged on basically how you get on with the other girls. There was 26 of us in the competition. You're privately interviewed then. So the judges I had were Anna Marie McHugh from the National Ploughing and the World Ploughing. And at the time, Joe Healy, the IFA president. And then there was Clark Machinery and the Queen before me. So you get judged by four people. And then you have to do an on-stage interview that night. How would you represent Irish agriculture, and what are your plans for your own farm and things going forward?
Okay. And of course, one of your big things was social, from a farming perspective, was social media and just letting people in to see what you do.
Yeah, well, the social media stemmed from that then, because people were asking me questions about my farm, like how many cows or what do we do, and those kind of things. And after a few messages, I says maybe there's a few more that are interested, and I started posting the answers publicly, and then it kind of just spiraled from there. So I'm this is my fourth year sharing on social media, and I think I've 26,000 followers on Instagram now.
And what are the challenges of it, or is it something that you just really enjoy doing in terms of posting?
Look, there's an awful lot of positives to social media. I like sharing because people learn an awful lot from what I'm doing. But at the same time, then I learn an awful lot from all the other people that I watch. But there is challenges there. People that, like farming is something that every farm, like all dairy farms might be milking cows, but we don't all do it the same way, or we don't have the same machines or the same methods. Some people might not be as keen on my ways of doing things.
And Louise, tell me, in terms of, you obviously you've a grow for the job, I can get that just from chatting to you, and the way of life. What's your favourite part of what you do?
My favourite part has to be seeing the actual animals, how they progress. So I'd be there from when the calf is born to watching it as, you know, putting her calf and seeing her come into the milking parlour. So a lot of our cows that we'd have here, you know, I would have seen every one of them being born and looked after them right through. And they're 10, 12 years old, still with us every day. You know, they're part of the family, really. And I have cows there that I remember their mothers or their grandmothers. So it's nice to have that aspect.
And presumably the answer here is yes, but does each cow have a different personality?
Oh, they do. They have lots of personalities. You know, I had a pet cow that I unfortunately, she passed away in March, but I had her for 14 years. And she just had the most stubborn cow. Like, You know, she never did what I wanted her to do, but she knew her name and you could call her in any field or in the sheds and she'd always come up to you. She was 14 years old and she still would fight any calf or a bucket of milk. So they have characters. There's certain cows that like to come in first into the milking parlour. Some like to come in at the end. You get to know their routines. You know, you'd know if the very first cow that comes in every day wasn't there, you'd know to kind of keep an eye on her because she might be a bit off farm or a bit under the weather. So they are complete characters.
What are the challenges for farmers in Ireland right now? What are the biggest issues that you're facing?
There's a couple of issues facing us at the moment. I suppose public perception of farming is a huge one at the moment. Lifestyles are changing and there's other diets out there and I have no issue with whatever diet somebody wants to lead, but farmers aren't out there to do any harm. Dairy farming gets a bad stigma, I suppose, taking calves away from cows, but I think a lot of people like me online will see reasonings for it. We're not going out to cause any harm to any animal. At the end of the day, the animals provide our living for us. So if we don't look after them, then, you know, they can't look after us. It's a complete circle. And it's just to get that message out to the public that, you know, these animals, they mean as much to us as, you know, the rest of our family.
Well, I think anyone listening into the interview so far today will absolutely get that from the conversation that we're having. No doubt about it whatsoever. And in terms of the public perception, talk to me a little bit more about that. How do you think how do the public perceive farmers, or how do you think they perceive farmers?
I suppose the public getting these payments from Europe and the subsidies, and they think that we're farming purely just for money. And that's, you know, the dairy expansion in the last few years, there's this idea that farmers just want more and more and to be bigger. And that idea is long gone. We're now in an era where I know most young farmers, definitely anyway, like myself, we want to just be better at what we already have. I've no interest in having 300, 400 cows. To me, that means work, more bills, you know, there's a lot of bills that are associated with cows.
And what would you say to people like myself who are, I watch Clarkson's Farm right now, I'm like, we're moving down to West Cork in a couple of weeks time, I'm like, God, I'd love a bit of land. And then I was like, but geez, I'd love a few cows and maybe a couple of llamas and alpacas and sheep. I'd love to get into farming, even though I know absolutely nothing about it. What would you say to idealists like me, or dreamers like me, probably a better word, who are thinking about it?
Start small. I would never disencourage anybody from getting involved in the animals. Being realistic, there is loads of high points, but there is lows that come with it. But from what I've learned is from experiencing the lows and the hard things that come with, you know, sick animals or losing animals, they make you appreciate the good days all that more. So I'd start small, just get a couple, find your feet, and then, you know, you can get a couple more then after that, because it's better to start small and get that right and know what you're doing. It makes then, you know, the increase that all that more easier.
Okay, well, maybe if we ever meet at the Ploughing Championships, I might regale you with tales of a growing small little farm in West Cork. Hopefully, a little bit of luck. Louise, if people want to follow you online and do what I do and follow you in your tractor and stuff all day long, where can they find you?
So I'm on Instagram. My username is Louise Crowley Farms. So it's pretty simple enough, find me.
Louise, thank you so much for joining us today. Folks, that is it for another episode of Real Health with me, Carl Henry, in association with Leia Healthcare. You know where we are, at Carl Henry PT on Instagram, realhealthandindependent.ie. If you liked what you heard, don't forget to rate and review. We'll see you next week for more Real Health. Slán go fóill.
Leia Healthcare, looking after you always. Proud sponsors of Real Health with Carl Henry.